I want to get started here in the book of the Revelation. Now, chapter 17. Verse 5, and upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, I think last week we talked about when he was carried away into the wilderness. Now, this is my putting things together. Was he carried away in just to any place in the wilderness? Or was it some place in the wilderness? And I believe because of the statements that's made, I believe that he was carried away to the site of ancient Babylon. And that's in the country of Iraq. Jordan, wake up. Keep your eyes open. It's time to wake up, not go to sleep. The site of ancient Babylon, and you see there's still no city there in Iraq. It's like a swamp. It's like no man's land. And we can find through the prophecies of the Lord that that's what he said it would be, and that's what it is. But some of you won't, but most of you remember Saddam Hussein. Well, he was an Iraqi. And that's where Babylon was in Iraq. And do you know that his alter ego, the one that he identified with, was Nebuchadnezzar? Because see, we think all that's formed all them. No, it's all right home with them. And I don't know if he ever got started on it or not. I think you could probably find it out. But his intention was to restore the city of Babylon. Well, part of the ancient city of Babylon, or that part of it, in Nebuchadnezzar's time, I can't tell you what they look like, but one of the seven wonders of the ancient world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. You ever hear that? Oh, you had that, and the Colossus of Rhodes, and of course the pyramids, and you know, I don't know what all seven of them were, but they got different ones now, but one of them was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Obviously, there were some gardens hanging from something. And I can't tell you what, but that's what it was. Anyway, so, Babylon, the city, was going to be restored by Saddam Hussein. But he's no longer with us. Anyway, but here I believe he's talking about not necessarily the actual city of Babylon. He's talking about the city of Rome, Babylon. But all of that connects it all together. And when I teach the Trail of Blood, I go all the way back really to creation, but then I make a pause there at the time of the Tower of Babel. Because at the Tower of Babel, see that word Babel means confusion. Babel. That's what it means, confusion. That's what it is, I'm sorry. Anyway, Nimrod And we do have him mentioned in Genesis 10. He was called a mighty hunter. Now, what to figure out about Nimrod is that Nimrod, the reason he was a mighty hunter and really a rebel before God, he figured out some way to kill dinosaurs. Well, if you think about, I know dinosaurs were on the ark. Behemoth and Leviathan, we know that. And the Tower of Babel is some, maybe 130 years after the flood is over. So there obviously were dinosaurs still around, and there may still be dinosaurs around. There's a lot of information on that. There's lots of places in Africa, South America, and other places that have never been explored by folks. And there's missionaries that have had people in their mission churches that claim that they'd killed them and eaten part of them. So, well, even the so-called scientists today, they say, man never lived with dinosaurs. Matter of fact, the first thing you see used to be when you go in the Creation Museum. As you come in that big room there, where that big mastodon is, and then you look back over there, there's a couple of aquariums, built-in aquariums. It's got turtles and some kind of fish in there. But up around there, there's, you don't call them dummies, but what are they?
Robots.
Like models of kids. And there's a dinosaur about that tall there. And when the atheists and all of the liberals come in there, that's the first place they stop and they scream bloody murder. Well, you're lying to these kids. You've got these kids up here with a live dinosaur. And that never happened. And then the same people will turn around and say, well, dinosaurs evolved into birds. Well, if that's where they came, there's people living with dinosaurs today a lot closer than they ever did. But they don't know what they believe. They believe anything but the Bible. Anything but the truth will do. So anyway, now Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, we don't find her in the scriptures. We do find her in secular history. The book Alexander Hislop and Two Babylons, and all of the studies that he did, which is great and got much in there, that's where we come into Semiramis, find out that she was his wife. All right, so from that bunch there and the Tower of Babel, that's where idolatry started. Actual pagan idolatry. It was all invented right there at the Tower of Babel. And it was all in rebellion against God. So, Mr. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, that looks like the very source of all of it. And that's where it is. Back there at Nimrod in the Tower of Babel. And I saw the woman that would be the mother of harlots there, drunken with the blood of the saints. Now that's not to say that you can get drunk on blood. But the way he's talking about it, she was filled to the gills with the blood of the saints. I mean, she just saturated with it. Didn't mean that she was snot-slinging drunk, but she was sodden. She was filled up with it. That's just another example of the word drunken being used for not necessarily being inebriated. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The word martyr in the Greek is martyro, which means a witness. And so a witness, a martyr, would be one who has died or suffered for his or her faith. And so you could have a female martyr, and you can have a male martyr, or you could have a young person martyr. They could all be that, be witnesses. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, I don't know exactly what he saw. He's describing what he sees to a point. But I wondered with great admiration doesn't mean, oh, isn't that wonderful? No, that's not what he's saying. I wondered with great awe how horrible that is. Just saw on Facebook, somebody put up there a picture of President Trump, said, pray for this man. He's fighting an evil none of us can imagine. Amen. And I think it was right. So if you could see the evil that our president is fighting, I mean, coming from the Democrats and the Planned Parenthood and all the others, China, Russia, North Korea, all of them that are fighting him. He does. He's got an evil against him. He's fighting Satan. Satan's at the head of all that. And he's still going. I think the Lord's got him going. He's keeping him going. Anyway, but this wonder and great admiration has nothing to do with admiring. It's just being in awe. It's so bad. Well, the first chapter of Ezekiel, the wheel within the wheel, and it was so high, it was dreadful. You ever seen anything that high that it was so high it was dreadful? Well, you go to New York City and those 100-story buildings and look up. You want to fall back or something. It's just, they're so high it's dreadful. Anyway, that's the kind of frame of he said. And the angel said unto me, wherefore means why didst thou marvel? Why are you so amazed? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. So here's the mystery. That harlot riding, that beast that's got 7 heads and 10 horns. It's red color, red, nondescript beast. Now you know there's nothing with 7 heads. And 10 horns, I don't think a horny toad's got that many horns, does it? I don't know. Y'all ever see a horny toad? If you've seen Clint Eastwood and Josie Wales, old Chief Dan George, he got a horny toad and told him which way direction he needs to go. Anybody remember that? I don't know that he was right, but anyway. But these are symbolic heads and horns. The whole thing is symbolic. But the beast that thou sawest was and is not. And shall I ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition? Now there's a mythical or symbolic beast that has some literal application here. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Obviously, it's there in the bottomless pit, it's coming out. Then that gives, say, keep it real. Well, here's keeping it real. This is real. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Well, there's the book of life. And when was it written? When was it filled up? From the foundation of the world, before the world was. So, there's a real book of life. And it's filled up from the foundation of the world. Now, you can hear these Armenians talk about, well, if you give your heart to Jesus, open up your heart and let Jesus come in, and you'll be, then you'll get your name written down in the book of life. I've heard them say stuff like that. But far be it from them to actually look at Scripture and see what the Scriptures say about it. But we've got that a couple of times. It's written from the foundation of the world. And obviously, these folks' names weren't written in that book. And they beheld the beast that was and is and not and yet is. They seem to be a different cut of people, don't they? Because they look at this thing and here's a man which hath wisdom, verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Well, there's only one city in the whole world, in the history of the world, that's ever been known by the city on seven hills or seven mountains. And it's not San Francisco. I've heard people try to say it's San Francisco. Well, I imagine there's a lot of evil to talk about in San Francisco. But that's not what's under discussion here. Not at all. There's only one city, and that's the city of Rome. And you know, where the Vatican sits right now, that's on one of the seven hills. That's Vaticanus, Latin.
The bottomless pit was talking there. Was it locked?
Now run it by me again.
The bottomless pit you just read in verse 8 coming out of there. We don't see any evidence, anything down there. Or was it locked and it was unlocked and it come out?
Well, it doesn't say. Is it still open from chapter 9? See, that's when it was. Chapter 9 is when it was open. Verse 1, chapter 9, the fifth angel sound, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And so, we don't find where it was locked again.
Is that before the 1,000 years?
Well, we get into something else there. That's when it will be.
That bottomless pit, chained and locked in the bottomless pit, before, I don't know.
We get that in chapter 20.
Right.
So, all I can tell you is that it appears to me, that's not absolute. It just appears to me that the bottomless pit was open back in chapter 9. On the fifth trumpet, but I don't know that it was ever locked again. So, how did this beast come up out of that pit? I don't know. It must have had restraints on it that kept it until this time. Now again, this hasn't actually happened here. It's getting ready to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. So, I mean, how many questions are there? Billions. How many answers are there? Few and far between. So, anyway, the seven hills are mountains which the woman sitteth on. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Well, we get into some stuff here that I'm not sure I've got the answer for it. And I'm sure nobody else has either. But see, if you remember, in chapter 13, a beast came up out of the sea. Well, the word abyss, abyssos in the Greek, we get the word abyss. The sea around Jerusalem is the Mediterranean Sea. And that's where that whole herd of hogs were, that when Jesus cast the demons out of the maniac of the Gadarenes, he sent those demons into that herd of hogs, and that herd of hogs jumped over a cliff into the abyssos, the abyss. It was into the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. So, from that I conclude that the mouth of that bottomless pit would be in the Mediterranean Ocean. And it seems to me that that would be the same bottomless pit that we're seeing here. Now, in Jesus' day, he ran that herd of hogs into the bottomless pit, and we never found them coming out. Not soon, but they go the way of all the pigs of the earth. Dead. But in that bottomless pit, and how many bottomless pits are there? I really can't justify more than one of them. And I probably told you this before, but Brother Brown was asked, how could you have a bottomless pit on the earth? And the way he explained it is very easy. You take a globe. Now, you know the reason every globe is tilted the way that it is? Because that's actually the way the earth's tilted. And it spins around. And so you've got a bottomless pit. Take a hole in the top of the globe of the earth and go all the way through. Well, you can't do that, but for the experimental purposes, we're going all the way through it. But it's so far, was it 23,000 miles, the diameter of going through the earth? I don't know what the circumference is, but the 23,000 miles through it, I don't know how far it is, but it's a long ways. The way Brother Brown explained it, you drop a ball into the pit, into the hole on top of the earth, and by the time it rotates, that ball will be right about midways. But then by the time it gets there, it's rotated again, and so what you've got is that ball is forever falling. It never reaches bottom. It's always right there. Because the earth spins. I don't know why I hear this stuff. Somebody was saying the other day that they're talking about if there's a God, if there's not a God. Is that if there's not a God, we're in trouble. We're plummeting through the space at 63,000 miles an hour or whatever it is. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Besides, we're turning and nobody there. Nobody's in charge, but that'd be pretty bad, but that's the way the earth is. Now, that's a practical explanation for how you would have a bottomless pit. It's bottomless because you never reach bottom. You're constantly in a state of suspension or falling, which would add to the agony of it, too. Anyway, so continuing a short space. Well, you find in chapter 12, the devil, after he's cast out, knows he has but a short space or short while. And then you see the Antichrist, the beast, as he's revealed in chapter 13, and he is given power to continue 3.5 years, which would be a short space compared to all this. So, this is not the first time we've encountered that. And so, continue a short space. All right. He must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not. Now, I've been hearing these explanations all my life, up till now it is. Was and is not claimed, and it may be, that that was the revived Roman Empire. It may be. I can't guarantee that's what it is. One of the heads suffered a deadly wound and was healed. That'd be a revived empire and the revived Roman Empire. Now, the thing about Rome, give you this briefly. Rome comes into power as an empire in 190 B.C. And they last as an empire until 476 A.D. And those dates have never been questioned by anybody that knows anything. So I'm going to have to say that those dates are real. Well, when you add 190 and 476, 190 years before Christ and 476 years after Christ, they come to the total of 666 years, the length of the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire appears to suffer a deadly wound in 476 A.D. Now, the spiritual Roman Empire, which is Roman Catholicism, does not suffer a deadly wound. As a matter of fact, they really begin to get power after that. Until the Pope crowns Charlemagne Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire in 800 A.D. on Christmas Day. Is that the revival of Rome? It may be, could be. Is that the head that suffered a deadly wound and was healed? I'm amazed at this. Does anybody ever remember studying about the Holy Roman Empire in school? They actually taught you about the Holy Roman Empire in public school. I never got that in school. Now, since I got out of school, I've studied and found out. And the Holy Roman Empire lasted from 800 A.D. all the way up to the time of the Kaiser Wilhelm, and then extended on into Adolf Hitler. So the Holy Roman Empire lasted a long time. Anyway, but be that as it may, I don't know whether that's it or not, but the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition, judgment, punishment. So the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. So this one goes beyond the seventh to being the eighth. You can get all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to confuse you, but the number eight in the Bible is the number of resurrection. Jesus arose on the eighth day, day of resurrection. Do we have that here? This resurrection? I don't know, but it's just a possibility. Throwing those things out. And then the ten horns which I saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet. Well, now, the tense of the verbs there, as yet. Well, there he is talking to John in about 95 A.D. So, are these ten kings spread out over the next 2,000 years? Possibility. Must be something like that. All right, so they've received no kingdoms yet, but they received power as kings 1 hour with the beast, and that would be they get power when the beast is revealed. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Well, can that get us into our present day? All of this stuff, this vaccine they're coming up with, and that little bitty thing about the half the size of a grain of rice, are they going to be injected into your right hand or your forehead? And we heard something that if you need temperature, the two places on your body where that is, right there and right there. When a mother checks the temperature of her baby. See if I've got a temperature. That's where you go, isn't it? That's not a coincidence. So, be careful when this vaccine comes out. Saw an advertisement on television from some vaccine company. Said, check with your pharmacist and your doctor and see just how many vaccines you need to get. I know how many I need to get. None. I've lived this long with Adam. I'll go again. Anyway, so these 10 kings that receive their power 1 hour, they give their power and their strength unto the beast. Now, let me tell you, when Obama was president, you about had that going on. I mean, people rolled over and played dead for him. And they still will. Now, what is he the Antichrist? I don't know. But he sure was similar. Now, these shall make war with the Lamb. They all hate Jesus Christ and his followers, his disciples. They hate his word. They want to get rid of the Bible. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because the Lamb is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. There goes the doctrines of grace again. You mean they weren't accidentally, just kind of coincidentally decided that? No, they're called, chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, that's the Mr. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Well, the waters, we're 3/4 of this earth is covered with water. Where did all that water come to flood the earth? It's still here. It's right here. What happened to the mountains rose up during the flood because all of the plate tectonics and all the volcano eruptions and earthquakes and all of that, and mountains grew. Well, they grew up, and what happens with the water? The water comes down. But all the waters of the flood are still right here with us right now. And if you reduce the land, then you'll find out that there's enough water to cover the earth again with flood waters. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Well, who is this whore? If it's wrong, and I believe it is, and you have every reason to believe that it is, and this woman is the mother of harlots and abominations in the earth. And what are these offspring of the harlot and the abominations? They are religious iniquities. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So the beast that woman's riding, I'm sure headed up by the Pope and all of her illegitimate daughters. Because see, they call us Protestants. We are not Protestants. We never have been Protestants. We never have been a part of Roman Catholicism. The Lord's true churches have always been separate from Rome and oppressed and persecuted by Rome. We've never been a part of her. And they know we haven't either. And there's historical proof of it besides biblical proof. Anyway, why would these governments, this big government, be letting that whore use her? Well, who put the crown on Charlemagne? The Pope, who heads up that religious harlot. And because Rome had so much influence, then that political Frankish king, what it was, became Merovingian and all. Anyway, it was worth his time to make a pact with the Pope. And between both of them, they subjugated all of Europe and grew unbelievably wealthy. And so did the kings and all of that, the line of Charlemagne. Anyway, but they don't like her. They tolerate her, but they don't like her. And she's so comfortable, she says, this is my rightful place, riding this beast and all these governments. Yeah, until he gets enough power. And then what's he do? These shall make hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, the type that you want here is back with Jezebel. Jezebel is right in the line, the unbroken line, from Semiramis and Nimrod. So all through the Old Testament, we find a trail of blood from the Lord's churches in the New Testament, but we find a trail of idolatry all the way back to the Tower of Nimrod. And so all of it, that idolatry that started with Nimrod, including astrology that started back there, the worship of the host of heaven and the sun and the moon, it all goes back all the way back there. And then you've got a woman there. And that woman is not that women themselves are bad, but there's a woman here, and she is the wife of Nimrod, who later on we find her name is Jezebel. And we even find her in the church at Thyatira in the New Testament times. And what is she teaching the children of God to do in the Lord's church? To worship idols. That's what she did to Israel. When Ahab brought her into Israel, brought Baal worship. Oh, and I think we saw some Baal worship in Zephaniah this morning, did we not? and what God hates about it, and going to get rid of it. Anyway, so then all the way through, so we go all the way back to Genesis, chapter 10, all the way here to chapter 17 of the Revelation. Beginning to the end, there's that trail of idolatry, and it's never let up. And so, there's coming a time, though, the judgment of the great whore. And here's how it comes. You remember when Ahab and Jezebel's up in her palace apartment, and she sees something way up the road. A big cloud of dust kicking up. Here comes Jehu. I can tell it's Jehu because he rides and drives furiously. That's like, I don't know, was it Brother Nelson and his hot rod? But he had that horse and chariot, and horses and chariot, and he drives fiercely. And here he comes, and you can see him from a long way off. And Jezebel has to go in there and gets herself all fixed up with her foo-foo juice and all that stuff. And gets all her eyelids and all that stuff fixed up. Gets all that stuff. I had to get up from the table and get away from the day. But she had to get all of it makeup stuff and make herself look good. So here comes Jehu. And there she is up there on that porch, that veranda, and she says, "Yoo-hoo, Jehu, here I am. Look at me." And he looks up. Now, Jehu's not a saved man. Jehu's a lost man. Doesn't make a bit of difference to God who he uses. He uses whomsoever and whatsoever he wills to use. And so he put in Jehu's heart to hate that old whore up there. He said, "Hey, y'all up there, whose side are you on?" They said, "The Lord's side." He said, "Throw her down." And they threw her down off of that. And she evidently came apart. That killed. And the dogs got in there. And they ate up everything but her skull and her hands. And that's how she, and you know what? That's exactly what's happened right here. Jehu becomes a type of the Antichrist. Jezebel is Mr. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And that's the destruction of her. So Babylon the Great has fallen. And the merchants of the earth have wept. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And there's never been but one city that's ever reigned over the kings of the earth. And I've given you absolute, I believe it was King Ferdinand early on that the Pope, he wasn't obedient to the Pope. And the Pope uncrowned him. Took his crown away, and he crawled back begging to the Pope. But proving that the Pope wrong has possessed, and probably still does, the power to enthrone kings and to dethrone them. So she reigneth over the kings of the earth, and that is Rome. I'm a quick.